passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And we have liftoff on a Thursday afternoon. We're laid back and ready to roll. Thanks so much for being a part of the program on this December 7th. Let's get right to some of the headlines. Rosen's Sugar Bowl ticket prices set records. A lot of demand, certainly, for that Rose Bowl. Let's talk about what, and the Sugar Bowl. How about that? Sugar Bowl is more expensive. Well, maybe a little bit easier to get to for Texas fans. Rose Bowl is way out there in Pasadena. Is that in this country? So we heard it yesterday. How will we pay for this is the second day story of Charlie Baker's manifesto on revolutionizing the world. It seems like the world's already been revolutionized, but Charlie's late to the party, but here we are anyway. Mike Oresco, the former ESPN executive, then CBS president. Now he has announced today he will retire as the AAC commissioner. Portal QBs are everywhere, and you have to look hard to, or because it's so dizzying. It will define next season, and it's happening right now. And remember, Matt Rhule said a week ago, a good QB in the portal costs $1 million, $1.5 million, maybe $2 million. That was last week. Matt Rhule, who made about $50 million from a billionaire owner in the NFL, now is the most aggressive team in the country looking for a transfer portal quarterback, so we know what it will cost. Pete Nakos, one of the best out there, if not the best, maybe the best. Let's just call him the best. Pete Nakos is joining us from On3. The best reporter in the world is joining us. Pete, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Tell us what you're seeing, learning, and experiencing every day in that portal. You are in the portal right now, are you not?
I am. That's why I'm the best reporter. Anyways, I think the quarterback market is really popping off right now with the transfer portal, right? Kyle McCord went in at like 6:30 in the morning on Monday, the day one of the 30-day window. And it's kind of like been off to the race since there. So Dylan Gabriel's in, Dante Moore's in, and it just keeps getting a little bit wilder by the day.
And Pete, I'm assuming that there'll be more, but I mean, you still have four teams in the playoffs. It's pretty unlikely you'll see much portal activity from those fellas until later on. But take us through the portal. It opens Sunday. When does it close? And what can you do in that portal once you go? What do you have to do?
So when you're in the portal, right, you have to first go to compliance, and then they have 48 hours to put your name inside the portal. You have to fill out some paperwork. It's a 30-day window that closes on January 3rd, I believe. And for those college football playoff teams, as you mentioned, they'll have, I believe, a 5-day portal window to go in once the CFP is all wrapped up. And that will be interesting to continue to watch, right, with the 12-team playoff expansion and if that schedule changes again just because of how large the postseason's about to be.
And I realize some of this is hard to keep up with, but this is your forte. What do you sense from the number of players in the portal? What does it say, if anything, to you?
I think it's a wild mix of athletes, obviously, or grad transfers. They have the opportunity to go in the portal. There's also plenty who are hunting for the NIL dollars that are there or they're not there. And that's something that these athletes are going to run into. I think there's also just the general nature, right? I think probably the leading issue is athletes just want a chance to play, and that might not be happening at the situation they're leaving at the moment.
One of your stories earlier involved a big time name from the University of Florida, Travis Etienne. It was about 3 months ago when his brother, talking about Coach Prime, tweeted at Travis about maybe getting in the portal and hopping out. What do you know about Travis Etienne other than that's a big blow to UF?
So it's Trevor Etienne.
Travis is his brother in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, all good. So yeah, I think Trevor is obviously leaving Florida, wants to explore his options. Have heard a couple schools mentioned, but I think we'll really be able to get a feel for where he's going in the next probably 48 hours or so. But yeah, I mean, obviously another major running back hitting the portal. We saw Rocket Sanders go in. The Ohio State running back Chip Traynham's also in. So yeah, I think that running back market is starting to gain some steam.
I want to go back to something you said earlier. I was talking to a friend of mine up in Ohio, and the McCord news really shocked some people. I mean, he was starting quarterback 2 weeks ago in one of the biggest games of the year. His team lost. He did not look all that great. Do we know anything else about Ryan Day's quarterback or former quarterback now?
I think what happened there in Columbus is not necessarily a mutual parting of ways, but I think Ryan Day made a decision that he felt was best for the Ohio State program, and by no means did he force Kyle McCord out the door, but McCord felt he needed to go explore his options. So yeah, I think, right, they have Devin Brown there, they have Lincoln Keenholz, the five-star recruit, Aaron Nolan from Georgia is coming in. So, I mean, they have depth in the quarterback room. There's obviously been conversation about adding a transfer portal quarterback, but I confirmed last night that there's been no formal conversation yet with the Washington State quarterback Cam Ward. So yeah, I think that this will play out, but Ryan Day obviously has confidence in who he has brought in that room and who's coming in that room. So yeah, it'll be one to watch though these next few weeks.
So just let's look ahead a couple from now until a couple weeks from now. I mean, what are you looking at? Do you think most of the activity has happened, or there are still some big shoes to drop?
There might be another shoe or two to drop, but I mean, Monday was arguably one of the craziest days I think we've seen in college football, and just in terms of like the name recognition of the athletes who hit the portal. I do think, though, that the talent pool this year is significantly larger than it was last year. I also believe that some of these big name quarterbacks will make their decision soon. But there's also I don't foresee Kyle McCord making a decision anytime soon. I think that he wants to go on a couple of visits and see. On the flip side, Riley Leonard, obviously the Duke quarterback, was at Notre Dame the last 48 hours. And ever since he went in a week ago, there's just been all these forecasts that he'll land at Notre Dame. So I think that case by case basis, but I think the mass entry was on Monday.
Pete Nakos from On3. Always great to see Pete. We'll take a short break here. Thank you, Pete. Head back with more of your phone calls, more reaction, a lot more news of this day, and we're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So we have a lot. Having Sheehan from CBS will join us. Dr. Patrick Risch, kind of rally on the epilogue to the Dogs season. More awards for Jaden as he heads for the Heisman. AP College Football Player of the Year. I mean, he is he's an absolute lock for the Heisman Trophy. And this is what he compares to. Look at the rest of the field. It will be exciting, but it will not be compelling as far as the suspense. How about this? Manny Diaz, fired a few times, bounced around, heading to Duke. Is that, don't tell me that's true, coming from Durham? Yeah, Manny's had a few jobs. Wasn't he head coach at Miami at one time?
Yeah.
This guy's been in the portal more than JT Daniels. Let's get to the calls, and we start with Brad in Florida. Hello, Brad.
Paul, how's it going, brother?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, well, I want to start my call by saying congratulations to the University of Alabama and the Crimson Tide. This to all the other fans, not the legend Gary. I got something different to say to him, but to the rest of the clan, congratulations. Bama played a hell of a game, and y'all beat a hell of a team. But now the legend, I don't know about you, but I tried to call Monday. I heard him call in. No, I think I tried to call Tuesday. But the whole thing made me a little uncomfortable. I don't know if you remember his call, but for my taste, he did the sucking and kissing noises a little bit too enthusiastic for my taste, personally.
I think I'm old enough to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna leave that alone. And also the other thing I want to say to him is, there ain't no ring to kiss yet, son. You ain't you won the SEC championship, but you ain't won it all yet. In fact, Alabama might be the TCU this year. Y'all don't know.
Can you imagine? Think about this for a second. Alabama loses 65-7. Then we're going to hear the same thing next year. You can't let Alabama in there. That would be amazing and very unlikely too, by the way. John is up next.
Paul, thanks for having me on your show again. And we've talked before. You know I'm a Tennessee fan, but I've got to set you straight with Florida State. You've heard all the opinions. They've got it wrong logically. They got it wrong morally and ethically. I'm not going to go down all that. But I am going to tell you something you haven't heard before. Because I had a conversation with my father, who's a former Auburn quarterback, who played in the Iron Bowl, who understands this game. And he told me something very shocking. You know what he told me, Paul? He told me that, you know what? If the situation was exactly the same, but the teams were reversed, Alabama would have still gotten in. And you know what? That's an absolute shame. And I can't say that as a substantiated fact, just like the College Football Committee can't substantiate that Florida State would get blown out. And when you really think about it like that, if it was the same situation, Alabama was 13-0, SEC champions, lost their quarterback, Alabama's still getting in. And that's a tragedy. Thank you, Paul.
John is next. Thank you, John. I was speechless. I'm glad you were able to help me out there.
One more Florida fan, right? Yeah. Florida State fan. Hey, good to have Jim back in the house, by the way. But, Paul, let me ask you a question before I get to the transfer portal. What team does the Elijah Drinkwitz coach?
That would be the, for now, it's the University of Missouri. I don't know what it'll be next year, but that's where we are right now.
Good. You've mentioned Missouri now, so hopefully that helps you avoid at least one contentious call today.
Yeah, no, I don't think John will be called. I mean, it's my understanding, and you've been around too. You only get one call a week from that facility.
Yeah, I know. But I can't help you with all the Karen calls coming out of Tallahassee. I think that's going to continue till they get crushed in the Orange Bowl. But Paul, I've said before, Ohio State and Georgia are top four teams, but they lost in what I call the CFP semifinals to Michigan and Alabama, respectively. But it would have been nice to have those two teams play each other. I don't know who makes the picks. I don't know who decided number 8 Oregon would play number 3 Liberty, but I think we're getting cheated on the
Those are very political things. The bowl games are – I heard a story the other day that Notre Dame was in heavy pursuit, and they ended up one league in particular ended up directing them elsewhere, not because it was a good move for Notre Dame, but it was to get back at ESPN.
And who does Notre Dame play in this bowl coming up? I forgot.
I don't even know. They're in the Sun Bowl with CBS, but I could not tell you who their opponent is or care.
Okay. So I was scanning the transfer portal, and it's well over 1,600 now, going to go over 2,000 with maybe
They play Oregon State, John.
Which is, and their cupboards have been emptied because everyone's moving on. But so that won't even be a game.
Part of the problem, not to get too deep, is that there are several leagues, SEC included, that could not fill their bowl commitments. So you have a bowl game in, I believe, Charlotte and Memphis, who are normally getting SEC teams, and they didn't get them because South Carolina lost its final game, Florida lost its final game, Mississippi State lost its final game.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, Paul, the transfer portal, and I loved the first guest you had. It's already it's going to exceed 2,000 student athletes, maybe 600 openings. But two that caught my eye was a quarterback, Tyler Slough, is transferring from Texas Tech to Louisville to play in his, and I'm serious, seventh season at age 25. Is that what you would call a triple redshirt senior?
Yeah. Well, and you know this, John. Everybody got an extra year because of COVID. So we're dealing with that right now on the back end.
So here you have another one, and this caught my eye. Five-star freshman quarterback Dante Moore over at UCLA is also in the transfer portal. Didn't you think Chip Kelly was all but gone? Or
he was, according to various reports, and then he won the last game, so he saved his job.
So here's the question for you, Paul. With all these athletes opting out of bowl games, which is really going to ruin some of the bowl games. And by the way, a shout out to Bryce Young and Will Anderson, who decided to play. That's a compliment.
By the way,
John,
before you start praising anyone, you realize some players are getting money to play in these bowl games, don't you?
I still, they could have gotten injured.
Yeah.
So, in any respect,
Don't think anyone, including your mention of a moment ago, is going hungry playing in a bowl game right now.
No, not at all. But still, it was a compliment to Alabama and Coach Saban that Anderson and Young played. But Paul, would it not make more sense to push back the early recruiting signing date and the transfer portal till after the CFP championship?
And just think about next year. We'll be getting, I don't know if it's this week. Starting next week, the playoffs will begin. So you'll have the playoffs beginning before the recruiting signing day.
Yeah, but would it still not make sense to push that back to January?
Well, it would make sense, but for whatever reason, the coaches wanted to move it up, and that's really where we are right now. Hey, thanks for the call. James is up next.
Paul, do you think it's too late for me to play my graduate in other words, my graduate year?
You know, James, I think it's getting late for you in pretty much everything.
Oh, Paul, what happened to your it's a brand new day policy, brother?
It is a brand new day, but there's always this lingering
animosity.
Yes, animosity towards you.
Okay, well, I hate that.
And I'm trying,
man.
And by the way, James, remember, you ever been in a relationship many years?
I've been in a few,
and you don't even remember where it went.
I don't have that problem.
I don't remember where this relationship went, but I know it's gone somewhere that I didn't like.
Oh.
So it's incumbent on you to undo past damages.
Whatever it was I didn't or did do. Is that
well,
what
I tell
you
what, I tell you what you did or didn't do. You would come on the show with just a meandering what's that, Randy? Randy said a diatribe of nothing.
Oh, what? He's on my list. Oh, I'm on his list, too.
You are on his list. What? And if you're on his list, you're on my list.
Was it gratuitous for Jim to come back this week?
No, I invited him to be on.
Okay, and that's what I'm asking. You're making my point for me. So what you're telling me is you brought him back. Did it have anything to do with ratings week?
We're past ratings week.
Yesterday was ratings week, brother.
No. Well, first of all, we are not in a rated.
I turned in the diary this morning.
Well, you may have turned in a diary, but it didn't affect us.
You sure?
We are not a rated network.
You're not.
No.
You're on the radio.
Well, yes, we are on the radio, but it all depends on where you live, because every market is different.
Okay, I'll go along with that. But maybe next time, if it happens, I'll have to inquire whether or not you're actually on the market.
Well, James, you have to remember something.
Okay, I'm helping.
And this program is seen on a national television network. It's heard on a national radio network. It's also heard on local markets. So I'm sure that's what we're talking about here, are we not?
Of course.
Okay.
You feel better now?
Actually, I don't. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back. More to come after this.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. Harry is up next in New Orleans. Hello, Harry.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I just want to make one comment about the committee. I'm not sure Woodward and Bernstein could ever figure this out, you know.
I would like to see them try.
Well, thank goodness things are changing next year. Paul, I'll tell you, I've thought about this the last week real long and real hard. And you know I'm an Alabama fan. I'm afraid we're going to be – well, I'm not afraid. I look forward to it myself, but I know some people can't stand, you know, seeing teams play twice. But I don't see any way it's not going to be Alabama and Texas. And if it is, what do you think about that? What do you think the networks will think? What do you think Coach Saban will he be happy about that?
I think you're always happy when you play a team that's beaten you. It's you understand. It's just a motivational aspect. You've seen them already. You know what you feel like you probably could have beaten them or should have beaten them. And your team is, I think Alabama is light years ahead of where it was on September 9th.
Right. No doubt about that. The last time that I can remember something similar to this happening was when LSU beat Ole Miss 7-3 in Baton Rouge, and Charlie Flowers and Coach Vaught came back with Ole Miss to beat them in the Sugar Bowl. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, why would you want to go back to the Sugar Bowl and face Ole Miss again and give them that chance? But this is a different time, Paul, but I can tell you this. Texas I think has improved a great deal too. I don't think anybody should sell him short. Do you agree?
Oh, I would. They have lost one component, but I also believe that at this point in the season, you know who you are, and I know Alabama fans talk about what they didn't have 2 years ago, but I think both teams would be in great shape. Alabama's catching Michigan at a good time. They lost their number one lineman in the Ohio State game. Harry, thanks. Always good to hear from you. Let's continue. Chip is up next in Georgia. Chip.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing today?
Chip, we are doing great. Thank you.
You know, everybody's talking about the transfer portal, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to let you know something. My mom passed away last Thursday, and I wanted to let you know that every single day until the end, she didn't have her body. She had her mind. She watched your show every day. And I just want to let you know, since you have such a good heart, you've always been so decent to people that are going through a tough time, that, you know, you made her happy even up until last week. And watching your show was something that when people go down and visit.
Hey, Chip, first of all, thank you for sharing that. Second, tell us her name and tell us about her. I really would like to learn more.
Her name was Caroline Lundy. She was remarried. I'm Chip Walker. And her husband passed away years ago, and she had gotten in, you know, bad shape. She was 90 years old. But she watched that show every day, and it was amazing because when people came down there to visit her, if the Feinbaum show was on, then there was no talking done. It was time to watch the show. And, you know, Mr. Paul, and, you know, I can kind of leave you with this. You left her with a lot of happiness. She looked forward to the show. And if you ever wonder, you know, if you ever, you know, you made anybody ever happy with any of the things you did or said, I just want you to know that my mama watched your show every single time. It was amazing. And I appreciate everything that you do. I appreciate your representation of the SEC, and just want to let you know that I couldn't have got by without doing it after she has watched every show probably that you've ever done. And I thank you.
Chip, thank you, and our best to you and the memory of Caroline. That is a blessing to hear you share that with all of us, and all of our deepest condolences. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Wow, that's... I mean, you always hear people talk about on the worst days, you know, what keeps you going, and I think for all of us who work here, a call like that really does impact us, because especially a week like this, when you look around and you talk to people and you look at social media and you really think everybody hates you. I mean, would that be fair, Randy? I mean, I have never seen more negativity toward what we do here than this week, coming from a couple of different fan bases, and to hear the story of Caroline and her life and how much she was a part of what we do here really does affect us. Thank you very much for that. Mm. Bash is up next.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Hey there, Bash.
I just want to start my call by sending some thoughts and prayers to the friends and families of the three victims last night at the UNLV shooting, to everyone involved in the Israel and Palestine conflict, and prayers for the return of all hostages. Condolences to Chip in Georgia, to his lovely mother, Caroline, and also to Trey in Tuscaloosa, who had a successful surgery. Godspeed, and roll tide to you, good sir. Now, Paul, I wanted to talk to you about the college football playoff rankings that came out Sunday. I wanted to give a take on it that no one really has argued from the common football perspective that these so-called experts want to defend the integrity of the sport, proclaiming that this is a travesty in the day of college football. I want to go back to the call you had with John from Louisville on Monday, how he told you about how his daughter surprised him with Rose Bowl tickets for Christmas, and then she told him, this is going to be your next three Christmas presents because of how expensive the tickets were. Now, from that perspective, I just want to ask you, Paul, and the entire Paul Feind Nation, do you think a common football fan wants to pay starting at thousands, tens of thousands, and with even all expenses paid, hundreds of thousands of dollars for one sporting event to watch one team potentially beat another team between 20 to 30 points? What do you say, Paul?
You know, Bash, you brought up an interesting question because I know we all do things at Christmas that we wouldn't normally do. And I think there's a caveat, though. When you get someone a gift, you agree with me or not, don't tell them this is the next three Christmases. You only get that like when you make a bungling trade, like remember the Carolina Panthers traded like a million choices plus next year's number one for Bryce Young. You should always have hope for the next year. So I don't want to know if I want some, you know, some pretty tie in a store. I don't want my wife to say, by the way, I'll buy it for you, but you're not getting a gift next year or the year after. I'd rather deal with it myself. So I also believe that there are certain things that are that important. I've had things my wife wanted to do something a couple of years ago. She wanted to see a specific performer, and I figured out a way to do it. And it wasn't easy. It turned out to be one of the great experiences I've ever had. But there are some things that are more important than the next two Christmases. Would you agree? But
I agree
also,
with that, Paul.
But knowing John, I think John, if he was a real person, would give the money back to his daughter.
I think with all the
I wouldn't let my child
show he can afford it.
Mortgage three Christmases for me. I it's a great thought, but I think the greatest Christmas present, if I could spend John's money, let's do it. Is John accept the gift, say it was the greatest present I've ever had, but I am going to pay for it because I want Christmas's presents next year and the year after.
That's a fair deal.
Shouldn't the father be able to afford it anyway? I mean, to me, it's the kid, the thought of it, that she went out and got the present.
Have you seen these ticket prices, Paul?
I hate to do this to you, John. Pay up. What was that, Bash?
Nothing. I was just laughing at that last remark. I was just asking if you've seen the price that these tickets are at.
I have not. No, I have
not. It is ridiculous. Like, myself being an Alabama fan, if I want to drive from Boulder to Pasadena, California, that's one mission. The second mission is affording the tickets to get past
security.
Yeah, no,
you're right. That's an interesting question. It's an interesting question one day, maybe when things are quiet. You know, how far would you go? I think we've all been there before. I know my parents got me things growing up that they could not afford, but they thought it was important to me. And I've tried to do it for other people. What do you want, Randy? Let me get you something. I've already got you that.
Hooray.
Randy wanted a bottle of bourbon. I've got it right here. He just doesn't know it's sitting right by me. Bash, thanks for the call. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. It's already been quite an afternoon here, and let's continue. Logan, I've not heard from Logan in a while. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you doing, man? It's been
Logan,
a long time. How you been hanging in there?
What is up with you?
Well, I've just been working, Paul. I got that job, man. I haven't been able to call as much. But I can tell you one thing. The last time I called, I think I said Jalen Milroe would never start a game for Alabama. So that can tell you how long it's been since I've called the Paul Feinbaum Show. Things have changed quite a bit.
I am not a preacher, but we have one coming on here in a few weeks. I am going to give absolution to everyone, including myself, for being wrong So let's.
I know, Paul.
Let's all move on.
I mean, at least we can all admit it. I was hoping that I wasn't the only one. Man, he really fooled me. What a great player. But yeah. So I just wanted to see what you thought about how we match up against Michigan. I know that's one of your favorite teams, one of your favorite coaches, and I just figured you probably had the inside track on.
Yeah, I haven't really dug that deep, but I don't know if there's ever been an Alabama game in history since I started covering them more than 40 years ago that has meant more to me than this one. I mean, this is personal. This isn't just, okay, hey, you know, I hope the best team wins and all that nonsense.
Right. It is personal, Paul. They're playing for you too, man. It's like, they're playing for the fans and for Paul Feinbaum.
Well, I don't want them to play for me, but I do know if they don't win, I'll never forgive them.
Exactly. Let's just hope they got a good game plan going on there. But I heard where my good old buddy Jim was calling back in again. So I figured if he's back, I needed to come back in and make an appearance. So you got me today.
So, Logan, what's going on? You told me this, but it's been so long. Where in Alabama do you live now?
So, Paul, I live near Dothan.
Okay.
So I'm down in South Alabama near the Panhandle of Florida. So, yeah.
You're down there in the Wiregrass.
The Wiregrass, that's right. The good old Wiregrass, Paul. And it's quite a difference from Asheville. But, you know, I'm hanging in there and being an Alabama fan.
Yeah, I'm thinking Asheville, Dothan, same political leans, the same.
Yeah, you nailed it, man. You nailed
same
it.
Same type you of, you know, grind your own coffee, coffee bars.
Yeah. Yeah,
same type of music,
hippies.
Same type of art,
exactly, man.
Same type of view.
Yeah, it's so great here.
Yeah, I mean, you are close to the beach, though. I do know that.
That is cool, man.
I've been to Dothan a couple of times. Nice, yeah. Really nice place.
It's not bad, man. Actually, you should come back next time you write your next book. We want to see you back down here.
Yeah, no, that was I did a signing in Dothan, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
I also did an event there, Logan, probably about 10, 12 years ago. The mayor had me down there for, and I'm trying to remember what he had me down there for, but it was like at the music theater. It's a beautiful place. I don't know if you've
cool.
been. Have you?
Yeah.
It was fabulous. Mayor at the time was like this big high roller. He owned a bunch of car dealerships. And he came up to see me and I said, that's a long, Dothan's what, 4 hours from Birmingham? I said, Mayor, I appreciate the that's a long, I've got to be in New York. I was doing something in New York. I got to be in New York on Thursday, and this is Tuesday night, and that's 4 hours. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I got a plane. I'll come pick you up. I said, what time you want to start?
Nice. That sounds like that typical old money Dothan, man. That sounds about right.
These guys were, I mean, I said, do you mind? I need, can I borrow the plane this Saturday? I got a friend in the Caribbean I want to go visit.
That's awesome, man.
That is,
well,
I will say, that is
here, Paul.
That is one of the great, and I don't, I mean, I, unlike my colleagues up and down the dial here, I'm like everybody else. I go check in at the airport on the same lines, but it is a great feeling though when they literally, when you get on the plane, and you're the only one.
That is awesome, Paul. Well, you're the man.
And that was my good friend, the mayor of Dothan, who provided me that. And Mayor, I'm available again if you want to come pick me up. I've got to be in Birmingham in a week. I'll come down and say hello. I'll come down and see my friend
coming
Logan.
Up, Paul.
What's that?
Yeah, come down and see me. You never did come see me in Asheville, so you got to come down here. The election's coming up. We'll see what we can't pressure that mayor to put a little money in to get you down here.
I'll tell you what, I may just run for mayor of Dothan.
Do it, man. You're a shoe-in.
I hear there's not
think,
that
I
high.
I
hear to get elected in Alabama does not take that much skill.
You think? I don't know, man. I don't know. We do have one senator that I think is got to be one of the best of all time. But other than that,
you talking about Coach?
I think you could do it. Yeah, I was talking about Mrs. Britt.
Oh.
No, I was talking about Tommy Tuberville.
In fact, I will see her next week. I'm going to an event with her husband. But I don't think I'm going to see the senator, the coach senator. Sheehan. joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.